Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. If you're looking for a place to hang out, a place to encourage you and help you in a genuine, practical way, you found it. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share with you some words of hope, insight, and relevance. Things that'll definitely connect with you. Oh, and speaking of that, we'd love to keep the conversation going with you after the program. So stay tuned at the end of today's talk, where I'll share with you how we can do just that. Of course, we can also stay connected through our website, richardellistalks.com. So with that in mind, and to get things started with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
All right, I have more of these than I can read, so I'm just going to try to pick out the best ones. Now listen close. These are things people actually said in court, word for word. Everybody ready? That'll be the question and answer. I won't say Q and A here every time. What is your date of birth? July 15th. What year? Every year. These are actual things, word for word. This myasthenia gravis, does it affect your memory at all? Yes. And in what ways does it affect your memory? I forget. You forget. Can you give us an example of something that you've forgotten? And where was the location of the accident? Well, approximately milepost 499. And where is milepost 499? Probably between milepost 498 and 500. Now, this is just one question. Were you present when your picture was taken? You know, it is amazing the questions that attorneys can ask. Here's some more. You were there until the time you left. Is that true? So the date of conception of the baby was August 8th. Yes. And what were you doing at that time? You say the stairs went down to the basement. Yes. And these stairs, did they go up also? Can you describe the individual? He was about medium height and had a beard. Was this a male or a female? Is your appearance here this morning pursuant to a deposition notice that was sent to your attorney? No, this is how I dress when I go to work. It's coming. Just keep thinking about it. It's coming. All right, now listen to this. All your responses must be oral, okay? What school did you go to? Oral. I mean, they asked for some of this stuff, so. Do you recall the time that you examined the body? The autopsy started about 8:30 p.m. And Mr. Dennington was dead at that time? No, he was sitting on the table wondering why I was doing an autopsy. Oh, my goodness. All right, here's a little bit longer one. Doctor, before you performed the autopsy, did you check for a pulse? No. Did you check for blood pressure? No. Did you check for breathing? No. So then it is possible that the patient was alive when you began the autopsy? No. How can you be sure, doctor? Because his brain was sitting on my desk in a jar. But could the patient have still been alive nevertheless? It is possible that he could have been alive and practicing law somewhere. Oh, my goodness. I can't do any more. All right, the title today is You've Lost That Lovin' Feeling. And probably the most memorable scene of this is in Top Gun when they're sitting around the piano and singing You've Lost That Lovin' Feeling. They looked like they weren't in any state of mind to remember having sung that in the movie, but nevertheless, that's probably where you remember seeing that. But the reason I want to talk about this is just that a lot of times we just lose that lovin' feeling. And if you've ever known a couple, you know, when they're dating, I saw a couple yesterday. If I had a table, a square table, I could show you this. I mean, I was sitting at lunch, and I looked over, there's a square table, and this couple is sitting at the table. And they're, you know, they're not across from each other. They're next to each other this way, one on each side. But they're not even in the middle. They are, like, over at the edge. And there's this, you know, you think, well, maybe women do this. But this guy just embarrassed the fire out of himself. I mean, he was over on the edge. You know, they might as well just have pulled up two chairs next to each other and done the love seat thing. You watch people and they're oblivious to what they're doing. How many of you are like in that silly, foolish stage right now with somebody? Raise your hand. Yeah, I see. So you're ashamed. You're ashamed. Nobody will admit to it, right? They're all at lunch somewhere sitting like this somewhere privately. Something happens to you. You stay up till all hours of the night when you fall in love, talking. You stay till 2. You call them on the cell phone going home. You call them when you get home. You call them when you wake up. You know, it's just, look at that. Oh, who said that? Where did that oh come from? He's from Arkansas. Okay, that explains it. Now. But something happens to you somewhere early on. And I think, you know, you say, well, that's that biological appeal, something that attracts people together. And that's needed to get people together. But let me tell you something. Some of that's needed to keep people together. And the problem is when those things go away and you've lost that love and feeling, love is not a feeling, it's a fact. I understand that. But sooner or later, these things have to be expressed and relationships have to be maintained or it'll go away. And you think, well, I've lost it. We don't have it anymore. And I talk to lots of couples, and a lot of them say, you know, we just don't love each other anymore. And part of what I'm going to share with you today is in talking to them, and I'm not saying, you know, everybody makes it. Some marriages fall apart. Some relationships fall apart. But a lot of times, the anger, the frustration, the years of not maintaining the relationship, the years of stress and financial stuff and kids and whatever that have just overridden everything you've got going on in your relationship, there's so much pain that they can't even remember the pleasure. They can't even remember the good times. And you literally have to talk them back to a point where something was going on that didn't involve pain, that didn't involve the frustrations, where they used to sit, you know, look at each other, hold each other's hand, just simple little things that were so meaningful. And go back to that point. Now, how many of you, we'll do this. How many of you in the room are married? Okay, so we got a few married people in the room. How many of you wish you weren't married? No? I'm not catching anybody. Got one back there. We all change, but it doesn't mean we have to change and go different directions. We can change together. Now, I'm not going to solve your problems in 30 minutes. But I'm hopefully going to read you some stuff. And believe it or not, this stuff is not just about losing your love and feeling with another human being. You can lose it with God. And the joy, that passion, that excitement that you once knew when you gave your heart to Christ can go away. And it doesn't mean He's gone away. And it may not even mean you've gone away completely. It just means you may not be communicating. Now, I may have shared some of this stuff before, but you're stuck with me for today, so you have to hear it again maybe. There are certain things, I mean, I'm a man, I don't get it. But there are certain things that guys think work, okay? Now, men think they're doing something that's going to work. It'll bring back that love and feeling. And there's some of these things I won't share, but there's some things that work, some things that don't. For some reason, one of the most romantic things I can do in my home that triggers something in my wife, it's like loading and unloading the dishwasher. Sure. Look at that. There's an absolutely down here. Amen. That's a Methodist amen right here. Some absolutely, absolutely. I'm getting some response down here. Now, guys, I'm telling you, listen, you think you've lost that love and feeling. There were things that men, and I'm no authority here, there are things I think about I used to do. I mean, the other day, and this is both of us, but the other day I'm walking to the car, it's just she and I, and I'm walking to the car, and it just, this thought came through my brain. Go open the door for her. Now, don't, you got to hear me out. Got to hear me out. Don't be clapping yet. I mean, you think, well, I don't need that. We're in a hurry. We're going. I thought, no, we're not in a hurry. This is more hitting her than me this time, but there's plenty of times I haven't done it. But I walked up to the door, and, you know, I'm with her. I mean, it's not like I'm checking the tires on her side of the car. So I walk up right to the door. You know what she does? She grabs the handle, opens it, gets in. I'm like, what do you think I'm doing over here? I mean, I think she's so shocked that I was standing there, you know. Guys, it is not the huge things that we think it is. And men think, okay, I got her, love's great, we got our kids, let's move on and take career and move forward, and this will take care of itself. It won't take care of itself. And the things that were expected or required or that worked up front still work. And we think, well, we get too proud. And what it really is tied to is embarrassment. Because if you've gone too long without doing something and then you try to crank it up again, what is she going to look at you and say? What are you smoking? You know. Or what if you want? There's the other one. What do you want? In fact, it happened last night. Last night. I'm laying there next to my wife before we go to sleep, just laying there looking at each other. And out of nowhere, I looked her in the eyes and I said, you know, you have the most beautiful eyes. Now, buddies, let me tell you something. That works. Anyhow. And she said, what do you want? And I said, you know, I really don't want anything. I said, there's something about the light and your eyes and it's working it, huh? I'm turning red? Good. That's a good sign. Anyhow, there are things like that, you know, and men forget this stuff. You think, well, she doesn't need to hear I love her. I challenge you to tell your wife every day that you love her. You say, well, she knows that. And see, the longer you go without doing these things, the more embarrassed you are to do them because you feel like an idiot because you haven't done them. Just start. There's these little things. If you think something, say it. If you used to do something, try it again. Slow down, hold her hand, go on a date, open her door. You think, well, that stuff's old, that doesn't work. They're still doing it today, and it's getting people together. It doesn't go away. And I promise you, if we go table to table and ask the guys or the girls, now, girls, whatever you used to do, you say, well, I'm not doing it until he does it. Well, then nothing may ever happen. That's right. Somebody's got to take the initiative and got to act on something. And I don't care how old you are. I mean, something was going on with Abraham and Sarah, or Isaac wouldn't have shown up. And those were old people. You know. It's all in the Bible now. I'm not making it up. It's all in the Bible. Let me go back to the dishwasher. It's stuff, guys, and I'm coming from a man's perspective. What is up with, and I hate unloading and loading the dishwasher. I mean, I think women hate it too, but that's one of the worst things on the planet. You're taking it out, you know, when you're single, all you need is a butter bowl and a spoon. You know, you guys remember this? I keep referring to this. I used to have a butter bowl. You ate cereal 3 times a day. You rinsed it out, put it by the sink. You're done. What is this? Why would we put anything in this dishwasher, you know? And then what's worse is she has somebody over and wants to get these little crystal glasses out. You know, you can't even drink out of them. You got to carry them around so carefully. And then who's going to wash them? You got to hand wash them and hand dry them. You know, I'm like, just get some plastic cups out. The dishwasher, making the bed, folding clothes. Guys, you can throw a load of clothes in the washer. You know, how many guys walk up to an underwear drawer, open it and go, no underwear? You know, well, what happened here? What am I supposed to do now? You know, ring your little bell and pray somebody bring some. You know, it dawned on me the other day, she's got a lot going on. You want some clean underwear, go wash some. And fold them. Anyhow, we'll get off of that subject and move to that. Just do simple little things. Find out what she likes. And that love and feeling will come back just like that. It's amazing. And I'm telling you, this isn't hearsay. It works. All right, poetry can work sometimes too. And let me read you a little poetry here. Of course, this is all right out of the Bible. Right out of the Bible. How beautiful are your feet in sandals, O princess daughter. I better let you come read this. You know where I'm going with this. You wouldn't read this either, I can tell you that. How beautiful are your feet in sandals, O princess daughter. The curves of your thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a skillful woman. Your navel is a rounded goblet. I'm not saying try all this, guys, but it's in here. Your waist is a heap of wheat set about with lilies. I wouldn't use that one. I don't think I'd use that one. In fact, guys, I wouldn't make any references to a woman's waist, period. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle. I will not stop there. Your neck is like an ivory tower. Your eyes like the pools of Heshbon by the gate of Bathrabim. I guess, yeah. I kind of like you got pretty eyes better myself. But now, do not use this one. Your nose is like the Tower of Lebanon, which looks toward Damascus. Now, a nose like that over there might have been a great thing. I'm telling you, don't use that here. Your head crowns like Mount Carmel, and the hair of your head is like purple. A king is held captive by your tresses. Oh, how fair, how pleasant you are. Oh, love with your delights. And he goes on. Now, here's one she's saying to him. I don't know. This might work. I'm not positive. I've never had anybody read this to me. So, my beloved is white and ruddy, chief among 10,000. His head is like the finest gold. His locks are wavy and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are like a bed of spices, banks of scented herbs. His lips are lilies, dripping liquid myrrh. His hands are rods of gold set with beryl. His body is carved ivory inlaid with sapphires. His legs are pillars of marble set on bases of fine gold. His countenance is like Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yes, he is altogether lovely. You got to be thinking about this stuff to come up with this stuff. You got to be thinking about that person. You got to be in love with somebody to even write this stuff. And it's in the scriptures. Some of this talks about our relationship with God. But guys, this is basically between a man and a woman who love each other or committed to each other. This sounds like an awesome relationship. Where is that? That's in Song of... I'll give you the notes right here. Are you going to try this? Are you married? Well, good. I was just going to make sure before I gave this to you. You don't need this if you're not married. This is not scripture to be reading in bars, okay? This is intended for the home. Although, anyhow. All right, we got a few minutes left. Let me read you a passage of scripture out of Revelation. And this was going to apply to not only our relationships with a spouse. And some of you say, well, I'm single. This stuff's all addressed to married people. You might get married. You may have been married, may get married again. Revelation chapter 2. And this is where John is instructed to write to the angel of the church at Ephesus. And he says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. You work hard, the labor's there, you're patient, you can't bear those who are evil. You have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and you've found them liars. You have persevered and have patience. You have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. It sounds like all great stuff. Nevertheless, in spite of all this stuff you're doing right, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You say, well, I'm a Christian, and I love God, in word at least. And I go to church, and I give my money, and I'm doing all the God things, and I'm faithful to my wife or my husband, and I take care of my kids, and I, you know, feed them and clothe them and do all these things. And God says, that's all great, and He acknowledges that. But He says, you don't love me anymore. We used to talk. You used to want to spend time with me. You used to want to read the book. You used to want to tell me what's going on in your life. You used to ask me for things that you needed, but you don't have time for me anymore. You don't want to communicate with me anymore. And there's a big difference, guys, in losing something and leaving something. And here he says, you have left your first love. He didn't say you've lost your first love. If you have left something somewhere, you just have to go back where you left it and pick it up.
That's right.
And my challenge to you today in your relationship with God, if you have one, a personal relationship, if it's gotten cold and hard-hearted and you just think he's gone and you're gone and nothing's working, I would recommend that you think, you know, Lord, what did we used to do that made it so special? What were the conversations we had back when it was exciting, back when I was passionate about you and your kingdom and your work, and I knew how you felt about me and I knew how I felt about you, and there really was feeling to this thing, not just drudgery and labor and going through the motions. I want to go back to that. Is it possible? Has anybody ever been in that place? Then the same thing is true in a romantic relationship where you've lost that love and feeling. You haven't lost anything necessarily. You've left it, and you may have to suck it up pride-wise, and go back and say, you know what, you're going to think I'm maybe a little nuts, but I'm not going to let this relationship go down the tubes and out the window without a fight, and the best of fights. And I want us to talk, and I want us to figure out what we used to do and what we used to say and where we used to go and what used to work, and let's go back where we left it and pick up where we left off and see if we can't get back that love and feeling. There's another place, and I recommend you read this in James chapter 2, and it's in a whole other context, but basically what James chapter 2 talks about, he says that faith without works is dead. Love without maintenance will die too. You cannot just say, well, we're in love and she knows it, and you just live and have a marriage. Weddings are easy. Marriages require maintenance. And if you're going to maintain it, it's going to take ongoing thinking, asking questions, communicating. What does she love? What does he like? You know, I'm married to this person. Let's do the right thing toward this other person. And you just got to start somewhere. And I will promise you this. I believe God honors your obedience. And when the faith, when you take the step of faith, the feelings follow. There's a guy we've been praying for that's moved to Tokyo, Japan. He was coming to the church for a while. And before he left, he was that close to becoming a Christian. And I stood before he left and I spoke his name and I said, you know, Jesus died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead to give you eternal life, abundant life. He wants to come live in you and through you. And you can have this relationship. I said, would you like to pray and ask Christ to come into your life? And he said, you know, I've got to think about it. It just seems too simple, and he's pretty, you know, intellectual and analytical. So he left. And the other day, his girlfriend called me and told me that over this last weekend, he was riding a train in Japan, and somewhere on the ride, it kind of all came together, and he bowed his head on the train and asked God to come into his heart and to come into his life. Now, that's a great thing. We can applaud that. But here's what I want to tell you, that this is what I'm getting at. With him, what happened to him, he told her, well, you know, when I prayed, nothing happened. She said, well, do you think the train was going to stop or something? You know, everybody expects this something wild to happen. It's a step of faith. He said 2 days later, he had an unbelievable peace come over him. Now, let me tell you, somehow, sometimes God works, and he does it different everybody and every time, I think. But sometimes God knows what you need, and if you need to take a step of faith and then the feelings follow, that's how he'll do it, because he doesn't want you trusting the feelings without the action.
That's right.
So at some point you say, God, I'm going to do the right thing, and I know I'm going to feel the right thing sooner or later. So take that step. Take the first step. Say, well, the feelings aren't back. You just keep walking. You keep taking that step of faith and say, Father, I'm doing what I believe you want me to do. Honor that and restore the joy of your salvation if it's this way, but also of our relationship if it's this way with somebody else.
We'll get back to Richard in a quick moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to take the planet. And the best way to do that is to make it a priority. One that's simple, practical, relational, and transferable. So it's our prayer that these talks from Richard don't just become something you hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. It's time to stand up and let the good news be heard. Join us in this mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with a few closing thoughts for us.
All right, let's pray and we'll go back to work. And our Father, we thank you for this time and place as we gather, that we have fun, that we laugh, sometimes we cry, but most of all that you're here, Father, and you speak to us by your Spirit. And as sure as I'm standing here, there are people listening to this message whose homes are falling apart. They don't know where to turn, what to do. It just seems irreparable. The damage is so extensive. For others, it's not gone that far. They just need to do some maintenance. But Father, for anybody who's on the verge of giving up and walking away and thinking the grass is greener on the other side, I pray that you'd help them realize, Lord, you got to mow it on this side and that side. It's not going to be easier anywhere else with anybody else. And give them the faith to take the steps and honor the commitment and do whatever they can to fight for their relationship with you primarily, but also with someone else, Lord, a spouse, where things may be rough. Lord, help us get back that love and feeling, but help us understand that all of it comes out of your grace and from your hand, and that before we'll ever feel anything that really makes a difference with another human being, we must know that you love us, that Jesus died for us, was buried and raised from the dead to purchase a place for us in heaven, that he offers us an absolute free gift. And if we receive that gift, you'll come and live in and through us and give us not only eternal life, but an abundant life between here and heaven. And for anybody who needs to do that, Lord, help them understand. It may seem too simple, but simple for who is the question. It's simple for us, but it cost you your own son's life. Thank you, Father, and bless the decisions that are made and the homes that will be changed and the joy and the love and the feeling that will be restored. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way we can keep talking is at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk preview sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Last thing before we go, if you enjoy Richard's messages, let someone know about it. All of Richard's talks can be forwarded to your friends from our website, so your friends can hear them too. richardellistalks.com. Till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.